I read those three verses tonight. I'm talking about our labor and the rest that Christ provides to us and the yoke that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And I wrote down a bunch of thoughts, and then I went back and wrote down a little outline, and this is the only part I'm worried about giving to you tonight. So if you see me throwing papers everywhere, I at least will give you my three points of my outline. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's different types of rest in the Bible. Kelly just sang about one of the types of rest. The word rest is used when it talks about heaven, a rest that comes to those that serve God, to those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, are not trusting in themselves, but trusting in what Jesus did when he died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again. And that heavenly rest awaits those that are trusting and those that have trusted in Christ. And part of that rest is your reward is with time with Jesus. And part of that rest is really resting from the labor that God wants us to do while we're here on earth. The rest that Jesus was talking about in this verse is rest we can enjoy here on earth. Rest from the how to find rest is what I'm talking about tonight. Everyone needs it. This is my introduction. Everybody needs rest. God rested on the seventh day, whether he needed to or not, but he did it as an example for us. Rest naturally follows work. Repetitive movements. You know, if you do something with one arm for a while, you let one arm rest, you work on the other one. Processes or pressure. When Chantel and I were gone for a few days, we saw they had a bakery tour, and when you're kneading bread, you let the bread rest so it can rise, and then you work it again. Rest naturally follows work. Rest naturally follows sickness. I've tried to tell people, I've been sick, I'm resting, but the rest follows sickness as the body fights disease or it fights an infection as you recuperate. Rest follows that. Rest is a part of that. Rest follows a conflict. Many times after a battle or a sports team plays, there's rest that is involved in that. That's part of the process and part of the struggle is the rest that it comes afterwards. Proper rest should lead to better work. So the team that gets off the field, they've given everything, and then it's time to sit down and review what happened. Same with a soldier that has fought in a battle. A worker that gets to the end of the day and says, man, this part of my body is really tired. Is there a way I can adjust for tomorrow? So that rest gives you a time of reflection, a time of perspective to say, now that I sit down for a second and look at what I just did, here's what I would do differently next time. And rest is a natural part of life. And it's part of the way that God designed us all the way back to when he created the world. And Jesus was talking about a rest that people desire. Of course, in these verses, he was talking to people that, of course, struggle with sin. As many of the testimonies talked about tonight, they were heavy laden with either sin or guilt of where they had fallen short of either man's rules or God's law. And they had guilt. They had shame. They felt the heaviness of a punishment for their sin. If they weren't Christians, they felt the heaviness of punishment. And Jesus wanted them to come to him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So how do you find rest? The next verse, and the first point I want to say is trade yokes. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And the yoke always talks about serving someone else. When a slave would wear a yoke, that was because he was a slave. If he was the master, he wouldn't wear a yoke. An ox would wear a yoke because the ox was going to plow the master's field. He wasn't going to plow his own field. But the yoke is talking about doing work for someone else. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. So he was saying, in order to take on the yoke of Christ, you have to put some other yokes down. In the case of the sinner, it was the guilt of sin. Jesus was there to deliver us from sin. So no longer would you hold on to the yoke of sin or the guilt of sin. It would be the yoke of bondage or slavery to those things that had pulled them down in the past. The yoke of correction. Not from correction, because whoever is correcting you loves you and doesn't want you to stumble, but the yoke of shame that comes after being corrected. And saying, you know what, I realized I was corrected because they wanted to pull me back into line. But now the shame that I've received, I need to get rid of that so I can put on the yoke of Christ. the yoke of the punishment of sin. Again, Jesus paid that punishment. Kelly sang about it. We've heard many testimonies about it. Jesus paid the punishment, so we don't have to. And imagine someone paying your bill, and then you're trying to pay it also. That might make that person mad because they spent their money to pay for you, and then you wanted to pay it again. And in Jesus' case, he made the payment for our sin. We don't have to carry that yoke of a bondage and the punishment of sin and the consciousness of our sin always weighing us down, and the devil reminds us of our past sin and that shame. We have to take that yoke. Oh, we have to trade that yoke. We have to take it off and take on the yoke of Christ. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So how do you find rest? First, trade yokes. Get rid of those yokes. Yokes, not Ed, I'm saying yokes. It sounds like Ed yokes. But trade those other things. Those things that belong to other people. Trade them and take the yoke of Christ. Say, you know what? If I'm going to work for somebody, I'm going to work for Jesus. I'm not going to work for the devil anymore. I'm not going to work with guilt in my life. I'm not going to work under the shame of being corrected and having done wrong and gotten right back in line. I'm not going to work under that guilt anymore. If I'm going to have to work for somebody, and all of us, we all work for somebody, I'm going to work for Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So trade yokes, number one. Number two, learn about the master. I've worked a lot of different jobs. My first job was actually at McDonald's, and the first thing I did at every job I've been is learn about my boss, because I would have coworkers, and I could figure out what they liked and how to make them happy, and I tried to do that best I could so I could get along with everybody. But at the end of the day, if the boss wasn't happy, it didn't matter how many other of my coworkers were happy. If the boss wasn't happy with my work, I had a problem. And since we're taking on the yoke of Christ, learn about the master. Learn about the one that has given you the yoke. Jesus said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Meekness is patience. It's the reception of injuries, receiving injuries. It's not meanness, nor a surrender of our rights, nor cowardice, but it's the opposite of sudden anger, of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. Christ insisted on this when he said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And again, in the Old Testament, when it prophesied about Jesus, it talked about his lowly beginnings. The prophecies that talked about where he'd be born and the way that he would live, how he would, when he talked about when he came in on riding on the donkey, that he would be lowly. And Jesus said, learn about the boss. Learn about the master. If you're going to wear my yoke, learn about what makes the master happy. Meekness is receiving injury with belief that God will vindicate us. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's meekness is receiving what comes and realizing that it's the master's field. It's not your field. You're working for Jesus. It's the boss's responsibility. You're doing what the boss told you to do. You're doing what Christ has left you and commanded you to do in his stead. So trade your yoke, number one, and learn about the master. Number two, learn of me. In Philippians it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You could stop there and just say, well, whatever Jesus would think about, that's what I want to think about. Whatever Jesus spent his time doing, that's what I should spend my time doing. But we read on, Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus had to think about the cross before he went to the cross. Jesus had to humble himself before he had a ministry to other human beings, to other sinful men. Learn about the master. Trade your yoke and then learn about the master. And then number three, if you want to find rest, and everybody needs rest, it's part of life, but if you want to find that rest that Jesus was talking about, pull in the same direction. Don't get distracted. This is what I was going to just spend a few minutes on. When we think about that word rest, one of the meanings of the word means to set at one again, to reset. I know some of you are bowlers. Martha's a bowler. I'm a terrible bowler. My favorite part of bowling is hitting the reset button because it means that my ball got stopped halfway down the lane or, you know, something bad happened and I get to start over and it didn't count. You get to reset, hit the reset button. And part of part of rest is hitting that button, is bringing everything back into alignment, getting everything lined back up, standing it back up straight, and saying, you know what, I was veering off the path a little bit. I got the right yoke on, but I started pulling in the wrong direction. And Jesus talked about it again over and over again in the Bible where when he was commanding his disciples, you remember he said, if you're my disciple, love one another, keep my commandments. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love on one to another. And Jesus was saying, hey, you got the right terminology, you got the right definitions, you're wearing the right yoke, you're following the right master, but make sure that you're pulling in the right direction. And it's already been testified about tonight. Start with a plan. Start with a plan about how you're going to react when people confront you, when people talk to you, when people bring up something that you weren't planning on talking about. Start with a plan of how you're going to make your decisions, not to react and say, you know, however you're feeling, because most of the time when you're confronted and corrected or someone brings something to you, you're not going to react the right way if you don't already have a plan about how you're going to react, if you don't already have a plan about how you're going to answer when conflict comes, when all these things that we need rest from comes, you know, when conflict comes, when a battle comes, when you have children, you never know what's going to happen. But when a conflict enters your life, have a plan of how you're going to respond based on the Word of God, you know. And if you need help with that, there's a guide. You know, there's people that can help you. There's smaller books that can point you to the principles in God's Word. But have a guide that you use so you're just not pulling in any direction when the conflict comes. Show mercy, because as we lead, other people are behind us. You know, if you think about an oxen pulling on a plow, there's going to be somebody behind that, whichever direction it's pulling, that's going to see the lines that are made and say, well, I was supposed to follow after, and I was supposed to be the guy that puts the seed in. There's people that follow after whichever direction you're pulling. Whichever direction you're pulling with Christ's yoke, there's people that follow after you. And show mercy. Show tender-heartedness, as Christ did. Pull in the same direction that Jesus pulled. Show the same example that Christ showed. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And many times we say, you know what? Well, I don't really care how you feel. I don't really care how I affect your spirit. But what we're saying is, I don't care if I grieve you. I don't care if I grieve God's spirit, because I only care about myself. I'm pulling in my own direction instead of pulling in the direction that Christ wants us to. Work on yourself to have an approachable spirit. The Bible says, speaking the truth in love, and it may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. When it talks about us as a body, us as a fellowship of believers, when we speak to each other, when we communicate to each other. Many times, there's been instances where somebody will either call me or they'll tell me something that they heard from, you know, three or four people down the line, and by the time I get back to the originator of the message, it's not the same thing. And when you're a little kid, you play that game where you whisper in each other's ear and trying to say the same thing over and over again. And by the time it gets around the room, it's something completely different. And as Christians, as church members, when the Bible commands us to speak the truth in love, sometimes that means going back to the source. Sometimes that means going back to the person that where it came from and said, well, this is what the truth is. I want to make sure that I speak the truth in love. And most of the time that means going back to God's Word and saying, I've heard it, and I can remember what I just heard, but I want to make sure it matches up with the Word of God, that I didn't just make it up. I want to make sure that it matches up with God's Word. So how do we find that rest? Again, number one, trade yokes. If you're wearing the yoke of shame tonight, if there's something that you've been corrected for in the past and you've got it right, and the person only threw on the yoke of correction to pull you back in line, and you're still wearing that shame around your neck because you've been corrected, you're back in line, but now it's hindering your work for Christ, trade it for Jesus' yoke. Trade it for the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light. If you're still wearing the yoke of sin, if you're here tonight, you're not sure of heaven. You heard a lot of people talk about it, but you're not sure. No one's told you from the Bible. We can show you during the invitation time. We can show you, sit down with you after church, show you from God's word. You've heard the gospel tonight already in the songs, in the prayers, but when Jesus came and God sent his son, the reason Jesus died was so we wouldn't have the burden of sin. We wouldn't have to carry that through life. We wouldn't have to carry that through eternal death and the punishment in hell. You don't have to carry that yoke anymore. Trade your yoke for the yoke of Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Learn about the master. Figure out what direction he's headed. And then don't get distracted. Stay pulling in that same direction. As I think about the next generation, those that follow after us, the example they have outside the Word of God are the people that have followed Christ, the people that have traded their yokes, that have learned about the master, and those that have started pulling in a direction like Brother Nick was talking about tonight. Those that showed up, and I feel bad because I wasn't here Wednesday night, but I'm glad that he was here and he showed up and he did what he was supposed to do. And because he did that, there was somebody that was following after him. There was somebody that was walking behind him in the same path. And there was somebody that needed to respond. And he was there to lead them to Christ. And would to God that could be true for each of us, to say, you know what, I did what I was supposed to do. I went in the right direction. I took Christ's yoke. I learned about the master. I went and I did what I was supposed to do. And somebody followed after me. And I got to lead them in the same path and lead them to Christ. That's our prayer for our church, that we could always do that. Despite the conflict, despite the battles that may come, we could have a prepared response to them and say, you know what, let's get back in line. Let's pull back in line and pull in the same direction and keep going down the same path to honor our God and honor his Son that offers us salvation. So if you're here tonight and you never received Christ, here tonight you've been carrying around an extra yoke or two that you're working for the wrong master and not pulling in the right direction, trade it in tonight and make those decisions as God leads you to make those choices tonight. So we'll have a word of prayer and let's pray. We'll have an invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you choose to use us even though we do mess up, even though we do need correction, we do need to be pulled back in line. And even though we do sometimes grab the guilt and the we go back after the sin and we try to serve another master, when you've already told us your yoke is easy, your burden is light, help us to remember that tonight as we try to serve you. Help us to remember that as we try to express your love to those around us that need it more and more every day. As we try to fight against the devil, we know the devil's going to keep doing his job. We know that those around us that seek to see us destroyed, they'll keep doing their job. Help us not get distracted. Help us not pull off in any one direction other than the direction that you want us to go. I pray you bless those among us that might be sick, those among us that might need that rest. Help them to sit back and to realize that you have more work for them to do. You have a plan for their life, that you want them to rest. You want them to recover. You want them to heal so they can serve you, so they can point other young people and other people in their lives toward Christ. Help no one to get discouraged. I pray, Lord, tonight that people would be encouraged and realize that you have a work for them to do, that you have a rest prepared for them. Bless our time of invitation. If anybody needs to make a decision, Lord, I pray they do that tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.